The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's What's Happening Tuesday as we continue to strengthen one another in the midst of minor Christian persecution, which will only get worse, especially if the Lord tarries. But he will never abandon us or leave us as orphans because our dad is a good, good father. That's why. First up, so many noises, so much commotion. But the key to a better walk is not just listening with our ears, even though my ears are very big. It's not just about listening with our ears. We examine our other hearing instrument. Next, wish it, want it, have it, lose it. The New Age promises abound, but they always fail. But Christians do have an advantage that can be skewed by sin, so let's get the picture of Jesus right. And finally, you didn't build this, the government did. You didn't help us, we built this with our own sweat and blood. Two philosophies, one lie, taking honor away from God, which is dumb.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, we've given you two ways to get in touch with the show. You can call 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. At this point, it is whatever you're most comfy with. That's kind of how that goes. Now, if you call in, Terrific T will take care of you. Won't be any problem there. If you text in, we'll do our best to read it. And we don't always read those off right away, giving people a chance to call in. Keep in mind, it is for praise reports, always a good thing. It is for prayer requests, always good to gather together in the name of the Lord. It is also for pop questions that we may or may not be able to answer. If we can, we will. If we can't, we'll push it back to another show. And it's also for trivia, which most of you know. Let's start off with a little trivia, get things going. Then I'll tell you what happened yesterday, and we'll go through the whole process. You kind of get caught up. Isn't that fun? In the Bible, there was a special person who preached in a valley full of dead men's bones. Who was it? Who was it? There you go. Who was it? All right. All right. Keep in mind, any topic is open for a conversation, and I think you guys know why. Why? It's not professional radio. It's just radio, and about 50% of the time, maybe not so much. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First of all, let me say hi to T. Hi, T.
Hi.
How you doing?
You know, I'm doing swell. I'm blessed and highly favored.
There you go. Love it. All right, let's do our DNA. We got to make sure our DNA is set in stone. We don't want people to miss this. Here it is, set in stone. It is number one. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. And then number three, always be ready to
serve.
There it is. So there it is. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed. Always be ready to serve. That is the Christian DNA. All right. What's the name of the Bible person who preached in the valley full of dead men's bones? Some altar call. Okay, that's a joke. All right. So here, So yesterday I was at a charitable golf tournament, not golfing. So before everybody's going, oh, he gets to golf. I could not golf. if my life depended, the last really good tournament I went to, I was with Daryl Talley, who was a great professional football player. And I mentioned this before, I'm a lefty. I hit the ball, and the head on the club went farther than the ball. And Daryl Talley looked at me and goes, "Not a chance," and then walked out of the course. So that's not my forte. I don't go there. That's not a good plan for me.
I didn't know you were a lefty. I am too.
I'm a lefty. You know what? I throw righty, but I bat lefty. I'm just like one
I
of those weird.
My right hand.
Do you? But... See? It's one of those weird things. Anyway, so what we did was we went on the ninth hole. This is for the Bucket Ministry. You guys know I've been talking about doing what I can to support, and we think they're a really cool ministry, and Chris is great, and Renee is great, and all the people there are doing a really good job helping people. So I encourage you to go to thebucketministry.org to get to their website. You can also click off of our website. Not a big deal, but we were on the ninth hole, and it was called the heckling hole. So people would hit the ball, right? They'd do an approach, and we would heckle them with they had cowbells and little horns and so on and so forth. And then we would make commentary, which is where my strength came in. So, you know, somebody hit the ball, and I go, "It's going, it's going, it's going, all the way to another hole." Not to this hole. And then Chris had a couple of really good lines. Whenever we'd go in the sand trap, it's like, it's beach time. You know, we had a good time. Anyway, I want to thank those guys, and I just want to thank you because we did do a replay. I hope it was a blessing for some. It's important for you to understand that we want to do as much as we can to encourage everybody. Who? Everybody in the faith. We just want to be a blessing the best way that we can. Speaking of which... I want to talk about this very interesting little teach. I'm not missing anything yet, am I? Okay, I'm doing all right. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. You guys know this, but wait till you hear the word and what's connected to it. Here is what 1 Kings 3, 9 says. So Solomon, in asking, said, "Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" It's a fascinating passage, a little more so than you might think if you get into the Hebrew, which, of course, I'm in a Hebrew class, so it's not like I have a lot of choice here. So it talks about the understanding heart. Guess what the word is for the Hebrew, the root word? It's Shema. Now, for those that are thinking, well, that sounds vaguely familiar. Why is this Shema? Why is that important? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, is the Shema, which is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It goes, "Shema, Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad." And so that's the Shema. Well, guess what? The same root word in the Hebrew for hearing the Lord our God is the same root word for having an understanding heart. So what's cool about that is it's not just that you hear with your ears. I do my best to hear with my ears. My ears are really big. Unfortunately, you know, I get wax buildup kind of thing because I'm not listening to the Lord very good. The idea, though, is for our heart to be hearing the Lord. Okay, you can hear, and this is a big thing about reading your Bible, and I'm going to give you a kind of a really bizarre example, but you're going to have to stick with me. You can hear the Lord, you can hear his word, you can pop a tape in, and it can be of a Bible translation, and you'll be hearing the word of the Lord in the sense that you're using your ears. But there's a significant difference when it moves from your ears into your heart, into your process, into your system. So 2 days ago, which is yesterday, I guess, I have a Bible, a different translation. I've got about 30 different translations. I decided I've never read the Psalms in the New English translation, which is the NET translation. And it's got some really cool scholarly notes, but it's written really well. It's kind of in between word for word and thought for thought. So they do a pretty good job. And I'm reading it, and I said, I'm going to read Psalm 25, and I'm just going to read it for the next hour and see how it goes. And I did it again today, by the way. And you would be, amazed how the Lord would take a passage that I knew, give me a little bit of a different application and how they brought it to you, and how my heart would leap and go, wow. Not the least of which were all the passages that have to do with repenting. We won't talk about that. What I'm talking about, though, is how it speaks and how it speaks deeper than just hearing the word. And one of the things that I've been really concentrating on since we've been doing this show is when I get before the Lord to do devotional time, and I really encourage you to do this, is to stop before you read and to say to the Lord, listen, this is your word. It's what you have to say, and I want to process this inside of me so I can really get where you're going with this, where you really understand you, really listen to you. He'll never say no to that prayer, and you get so much more. It's like your ears make a kind of a funnel to your heart, and you hear what God has to say. If you're just reading to read, I'd rather you do that than nothing. But if you read to hear, you're going to hear the voice of God. And you're going to be amazed how the application has there's a lot of prophetic application. There's a lot of eschatological application. There's a lot of application that has to do with theology and theology proper and Christology and pneumatology, all that stuff. But you're every once in a while, you're going to hear, wow, this is me. I need this. And nothing better than the psalmist. When David wrote, he wrote from the depth of his heart. And when you read it, it just comes alive and it just speaks to you. So my encouragement is, of course, to stay in the Word and to be connected to the Word. But ask the Lord to give you a hearing heart. A heart that responds like the Shema, because knowledge is the acquiring of facts, but wisdom is how you use those facts. And the purpose of the gifts and the purpose of knowing the word and the purpose engaging is to connect you and the Lord, and also for you to be a blessing to somebody else. So when you come in that devotional time, which should be at the core of your faith, don't just do it to do it. Spend time in the word to engage with God and give that heart of yours. And if your heart is really hard and you're having a really hard time, say, Lord, I got a heart of stone. I need a soft heart. I need one that if you prick it, it will bleed. I need something inside me that says, yes, Lord. And let that be your great strength as you draw closer to him. I really encourage you to try this in different translations in different ways. Not that I'm trying to get you away from the Bible you're using. I'm just trying to open it up for you. It's fantastic how the Lord will speak to you at the levels that he will. Have a hearing heart. Okay, the preacher that spoke to the bones was Ezekiel. Ezekiel preached to the bones, although I think some preachers think they're doing that on a regular Sunday basis. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Most of my life, it feels
like I've been running. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Good to be back. I missed you guys. I know it's only one day, but, you know, I like hanging out with T. I like doing the show. It's fun. So, I mean, you know, that stuff's cool. Let's see. We got to cover a couple of things. Let's get into the next trivia question. Little tougher. Okay, I was out in the sun for 3.5 hours. I don't want to hear about it. Okay, so my wife goes, I'm like, what? She goes, have you heard of sunblock? I thought, uh-oh. that didn't sound like a good thing for my wife to say to me. It's amazing how wise my wife is and how not wise I am in the most practical. It's so bizarre. It's so funny. All right, here you go. Here's a tough one. Name the pool that had the 5 porches. Whoa, I didn't say it was going to be easy. Name the pool. Remember, there was a pool that had the 5 porches. If you can't get it, I'll give you some hints, but this ought to get you thinking right away. Don't forget, by the way, our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Awesome. Love it. Awesome sauce. Okay, we are going to do something we haven't done for a long time, and I forgot to tell T because I don't tell her everything because I forget. Okay, so that's how that goes. We're going to do a dictionary definition, so I haven't done that for a while. Some of you are not going to like this work, but you're just going to have to get over it. So do we have a sound for our – what's our sound?
Hava, Nagila, Hava.
All right, here you go. Here's the word. Now, I'm going to say this right now ahead of time, okay? I'm going to say this for political purposes. Do not use this word in a political conversation. Just, I can't say that any clearer. Do not use this word in a political conversation. The word is schmendrick. It's not exactly the nicest thing in the world to call somebody a schmendrick. It's a Yiddish word popularized in 1970 by Welcome Back, Kata. And it is used to call somebody kind of a stupid person or a jerk. You need to be kind of careful there. That, them can be fighting words. You want to be careful. So be nice. Okay? All right. Got somebody on trivia? All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
I'm David. This is Ace.
Hi. How are you, brother?
Well, my voice is a little raggy, but everything else working pretty good.
All right. You know, when you're blessed, you know, there's a happiness there that the Lord pours into your mind and heart that people can't get when they're not connected to the Lord. So that's a key.
Amen. Fear creeps in, yeah. No, everything's good on this end. Yeah, good point, though.
I'm glad. Good glad. Point. All right, my friend. A pool that had 5 porches.
Well, Bethsaida?
Yes, that's it!
Bethsaida.
Yes, the Pool of Bethsaida! Oh, wow! Hey, that was great. That's a really tough question. So, I mean, I was just kind of going out there. I thought it'd take people a long time.
Yeah, it's a recall of the Spirit's truth, you know, the Word. That's what I always said. Jesus said, you know, he'll tell you things you need to know and say. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent job. I'm very, very impressed. I just want you to know. I would not have gotten that right off the bat. I would have had to sit there and go, all right, where is that? I would have had to go through a long list.
Sometimes just stick in your mind, you know. And,
yeah.
Stuck in your mind. So always praise the Lord for everything.
Praise the Lord. You got that one. You got it going on. So good job, my brother.
All right, bud. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. All right.
God bless you.
All right, so now I know that we get a lot of people out of time. That was a good one. That was good. It was a tough one. So every once in a while, I'm going to throw those out because that just really makes you think. All right, I want to talk about this. I want to be careful how I talk about this because I don't want you to think I'm a schmendrick. See, that's a tough word, huh?
If you say it again, smedrick?
Yeah, schmendrick. 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 So, like when somebody cuts you off, okay, under your breath, you can repent right after it, though. You could just go, schmendrick. And they go, I'm sorry, Lord. So you gotta be careful with some of these words, right? You gotta be. Although I did tell Chris over at the thing, he asked me, we were talking just briefly about the radio, and I said, yeah, I've said a couple of Yiddish words. I said, I'm positive that the Federal Commission, they had no idea. Right by, you know, sometimes you can get away with that. Anyhow, I want to go into this principle because for those that understand this, I'm laying some groundwork. I want you to be careful. So there's a couple of shows on television, and they do funny or goofy things. And, you know, sometimes when people are doing self-help books, there's a wish it, want it, get it kind of help self-help book. It's kind of the whole thing's a joke. And that's why in the intro you heard me say wish it, want it, get it, lose it. Because what happens is in the New Age realm, there's a lot of wish it, want it, get it attitude. And it's like, okay, you got to be superbly careful there because what you're doing is stepping into a realm that says it's what I want. I should get it. And there's some kind of mystical or magical thing that's going on there. And it's like, that's not how that works. But I do want Christians to know that God is not opposed to you having things. It's where you're at when you ask for them and how you ask for them. So I just want to make this real simple for you. So in that 1 Kings portion, we just talked about 1 Kings 3:5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God asked him, ask me what you wish to give you. Okay, now just stop right there. So this was God approaching Solomon, and he didn't, I know it's difficult for people to understand, but God says, hey, what do you want? What do you want? What can I do? What can I do for you to help? What am I here for? And it's ask what you wish. And a lot of people get upset about that and say, oh, well, that's not really what God meant. It's like, that's exactly what God meant. What God said is, ask me for what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. Not complex. It's not a lot different than John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. The key is what I just said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. Not if you woke up one morning and decided you wanted a Maserati. That's not what it says. What it says is if you're in me and I'm in you, then you can ask and I will help you. I'll get you there. But the pre-runner to that, the step ahead of that is that we are in the Word and we are in Him and He is in us and His Word is in us. It's not just fairy tale stuff, and that's the problem with some of the name it and claim it movements. It's like, oh, well, what? You wanted to have a house on the condo in the French Riviera even though you can't pay your rent? Just wish it, want it, it's yours. It's like, come on. Who in the world thinks God's going to go, okay, I'm going to give you this $9 billion mortgage even though you can't pay $11.50 for rent, okay? I mean, where's that coming from? Here's the key component. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what I don't like is that Christians often do this. they take it to the other side. So we know that that's just weird or goofy, how people try to, you know, claim, well, it's name it and claim it, or it's, you know, I just want it, I wish it, therefore I should have it because I'm a child of God and I deserve it. Well, first of all, if you think that, you're not even operating in the Word, because if the Word abides in you and you abide the Word, you would never say that in a billion years. That's number one. Okay. Number two, when Solomon responded, by the way, he did so for the sake of the people of Israel. So if you want to ask God for something, but it's for the sake of other people, that's genuinely going to be used as a gift of service. Sounds good to me. I mean, that's not a problem with that. Okay. But what happens for the Christian, I think, and I think Scripture is pretty clear on this, is Christians easily go to extremes, even though the Bible says 24 times turn not to the right or the left, there just seems to be a lot of it. And what happens is we all of a sudden think, well, God never does anything like that because God's the Grinch. And it's like, wait, God's not Santa Claus. Okay, got it. God's not a genie. Got it. But God's not the Grinch either. So it's like you got to get these kind of principles or concepts that kind of float in our mind when we're praying as though we have to pray and pry it out of God's hand. It's like, okay, let's just stop right there. You don't pray to the Lord to pry it out of his hand, okay? He's not sitting there and he's got something in his hand and he goes, you want it? And then he flips it to the other hand. You want it? And then he flips it to the other hand. You want it? And he's not putting three shells down and putting your desire under there and going, pick a shell. Okay. We got to stop that because that's all of that stuff comes from a bad image of God, which comes from a lack of understanding what the Word of God says. God is the perfect Father, giving the things that help his children, not the things that hurt his children, right? And even Jesus goes, well, boy, if you guys are evil and you know your son wants some bread, you don't give him a scorpion. I mean, his whole premise there is, look, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more true is that of the Father who loves to give to his children? He loves to pour his kingdom out on his kids. But the basis is that we're in his word and that his word is in us and that our desires are structured through our communion with him. And that's why they're supposed to come to pass, because we're in sync with God, not our flesh. So the reason that I bring this up is for us to stand apart from, hey, look, God is not a genie. God is not Santa Claus. It's not rub the lamp and get what you want. But he's not the Grinch either. He's not throwing chunks of coal at you and saying, no, 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 I give you nothing. Both of those images are wrong. Be in. In means to live in. That's what it means. The word actually means abide, live in. And you'll find out God is more generous than you ever thought. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, la, la.
That's for Zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the axe, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
On Christ the solid.
Welcome back. I think we got a little bit of a short in here somewhere. It's going up and down on mine. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, livinginhisgrip.com is a place where you can get our music. You are welcome to get that for free under the Hymn Project. Can you see it spiking at all? It just like goes in. It's going really loud in my ear. That's because I have big ears. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? All right, here we go. We don't quit for nothing. The show must go on. That's right. Do not forget, I am not unaware that there's a debate tonight. All of my teaching has nothing to do with that. Okay. You're going to watch it one way or another. You're going to make up your own mind. I got it. Okay. But I'm trying to get you to draw closer to the Lord. So that's my goal. So that's the whole point of what we're doing. And here's the only thing I would say. Use wisdom. And God's wisdom is the best wisdom, isn't it? Yes, it is. Here's our next trivia question. You should like this one. Which person in the Bible salted water in order to make it drinkable? That would be the last thing you would think you would do. Here's water. Watch this. Salt. Like, wait, now I can drink it. Which person in the Bible used salt to purify it to get drinking water drinkable? Who was that? That's the question. All right. Now it's either my thing or it's our board thing, because I think this thing's going up and down. So hold on one second. Okay, let me see if that helped at all. Don't forget our website, by the way, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so it could be my headset. I mean, it could be the time has come where the headset is. That's why I got a new one. That's why. But I've never used it. Okay, I'm working on it. All right, so that's a good one. Very straightforward. Who used salt to make the drinking water drinkable? Which I, of course, would not do. That's something I would not do. All right, we do have history, right? Okay, let's do some history. We got that rolling.
Let's go.
All right, a couple cool things. One's International Coffee Day. Coffee's good. I mean, the forgiveness is in the blood, but getting up in the morning is in the coffee. So let's at least be honest about that. Today is, now don't get weird on me, but it's technically Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Day, which is like, okay. I mean, when I was younger, my kids liked it. You know, it was fun.
I have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt in the car, actually.
Do you really?
I do. I used to love that show.
Originally, it was – see, all these shows, it's like a ton of these shows. They were all great, like, in their first year. Then they all want to make a message. It's like, I'll tell you what. Here's the message. Entertain me. Okay, that would be the message. It's National Biscotti Day. That's that really intense little cookie thing. That's
like the little chocolate.
Yeah,
on top?
Yeah, or it could be vanilla. It could be a couple, but it's really hard. You know,
it's nasty.
Okay. We're going to skip by that one. It's National Goose Day. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what that's for, and I don't even understand it. Well, there's a holiday for gooses.
That's
for
a good geese. Thing. Nothing wrong with geeses.
Okay, but they get a holiday? I don't know.
Fair enough.
Who did they lobby to get that? That's what I want to know. Here you go. This will really blow your mind. 1951, the first live sporting event, a college football game, was shown coast to coast in the United States. First thing ever shown coast to coast. 1789, the first U.S. Congress adjourns. 1789, and the next day, they've been messing it up ever since. That's only a couple hundred years. This is a classic, so I think this is something I'm going to comment to, not really a political or anything, but in 1992, Dr. Benjamin Spock said, don't drink milk, that milk from a cow's milk is bad for a baby. Don't drink milk. He was the guy that said, don't discipline your children. So here we have like 35 years of don't discipline your children, don't drink milk, and look what we got. Somebody should revoke that guy's license. This guy is not helping our cause. All right, Thursday, got a deep Philippians teaching. Want you to be available. Get ready for that. I did talk to or got an email from Johnny and Mara about getting back on the show. So we're trying to coordinate that. They're still having a problem with the landline, but we might just go with a cell phone and just see what happens and just do the best we can. Again, this teaching has to do with you, me, and the Lord. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be something that draws us closer. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Did we miss anything? We got everything covered? Okay. 2 Samuel 23:3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God. This is 2 Samuel 23:3. You want to know who said this? This is King David. These are his last words. Okay? There's a lot of things that people come up with, but I think first words and last words are important. I think obviously everything in between is important, but this is the last thing King David is trying to say to people after being a king for 40 years, 33 years technically the southern and northern elements, but let's just say 33 years for everybody, and then Judah and Benjamin had the 40 total years. This is what he's got to say. Here's what he has to say. People that rule over one another should do it in the fear of God. That's what he's saying. That's the fact. Let me explain something to you. I, again, do not care if you are what political party you are. I do not care what spectrum you end up on. You cannot deny the wisdom or the truth, if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, that anybody who's in charge of anybody, anywhere, at any time, ought to do so in the fear of God, of course. Anybody who rules over anybody in any capacity, and the word rules might be an unfortunate word because it's anybody that's in charge. This has to do with government, private sector, church, family. There is a righteousness and a right way to lead, and there is a wrongness and an ungodliness in the way to lead, and the key to operating rightly or properly is in the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm going to explain what that means because I just had to do a word study on it, ironically. But what I want to point out is that all of these ideas, secular humanism and the progressives and people that are like earth first kind of people, it's like none of these people are leading in the fear of the Lord. You need people that will lead in the fear of the Lord. I don't care who it is. It's just got to be done in the fear of the Lord. Because if they're not willing to be influenced by God, then they're willing to be influenced by the world. And that's a problem. And, I've had this argument with many. Another reason I'm getting into the apologetic side and doing the doctorate of ministry in apologetics is because science has all the answers. Science has changed its mind 9,000 times in the last 10 years. It's amazing because the truth never changes. Well, they're just learning more and more and more. Oh, do you mean like the earth is a circle, which Bible-believing, born-again Christians knew 900 years before science? Oh, that's funny. where Isaiah in Isaiah 40:22 said that God sits on the circle of the earth. That one? Oh, okay. You see how I feel about that, right? So I'll just move it to the side. Here's the key. The key is understanding what the fear of the Lord is, because we're all supposed to operate in the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. There are four fantastic definitions and understandings of what fear of the Lord is in the Hebrew, even more so than there are in the Greek. The first element in operating in the fear of the Lord for you and for I is operating in awe of God. That we are in awe, like, whoa, God. The second is in honor of God, to do so in a way that will honor his name. The third one, people don't like this, is trembling. People are like, oh, there's no trembling with the Lord. Not that way. Well, when Matthew 10:28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but can't kill the soul, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell, that's a little bit of fear right there, being afraid. It's, of course, all has to do with how you use it and how its context is. But then the fourth one is reverence, respect. True leaders, whether you're in a family, whether you're a parent, whether you're a dad, a mom, whether you're in church, whether you're serving, whether you're doing anything, is a person who understands that the first and foremost place to do this stuff is in awe and honor and reverence towards God. Why? Because only God knows how to perfectly lead. That's why. And it's just like, oh. Because if you say, well, Dave, you lead people poorly. Poorly, regularly. It's like, that's what you're going to get. But what you need to understand is that awe, that honor, that reverence enables you to be submitted to God so that God can teach you and guide you. One of the things that I'm kind of passionate about a little bit is that when we're praying for our leaders, we're not praying that God would open up the ground and swallow them whole and send them into some kind of a Pluto place. You want to pray that the Lord impacts them and that they're guided, not by other sinful men, but by a holy God who knows what way to go. And that they turn not to the left or the right, but that they walk straight ahead in honor and in awe and in reverence to God. Well, that's what we ought to be praying. On every leader in every position, political, governmental, church, school, anything. Because that's right before the Lord. And when man decides to do it apart from God, the Bible says there's a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That's when man tries to do it without God. That's what Adam and Eve did. How'd that work out? Not that good. Get it? All right. I'm a little fiery today, huh? Boy, oh
I see.
Boy, I'm telling you. All right, folks, who was the person that put salt water on the salt in the water to make it drinkable? That would be Elijah. Elisha. Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha, okay? All right, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off. Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh, and
then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, you are right. I'm a little bit like, it's probably because I didn't do Monday. That's what I'm thinking. I was out on a golf course getting baked by the sun. I don't care what anybody says. It was fun making fun of people, though, I will say. Because some guy got up there to putt, and he goes to putt, and I go, not even close. Isn't that nice?
So nice.
Yeah, that's. I got to take my calm me downy things. I should have had my calm down tea. I drink tea every night. It's like put David to bed tea. That's the kind of stuff I have. All right, let's do our last trivia question. Here is a very good question. How old was Joseph when Pharaoh made him a ruler? How old was he? If you know, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. How old was he? Ooh, interesting question. Let us not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, I think we got somebody calling in, so I'm really hoping that the phone doesn't... let's see. They got a little bit of crackle there, but let's see if we can just get through it. We can do this. We are capable, and we will do our best to do this, okay? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Mary, and I believe that Joseph was 30 years old.
That is correct, Mary. You are 100% correct. He was 30 years old. Now, there's a couple of funny things that go with that, like how old was Joseph when Pharaoh made him a ruler, and then people will say he was 12 inches old because it's a ruler and it's a foot long. But the idea is exactly what you said. 30 years old. Very, very, very good. Excellent job, by the way.
He was 17 years old when his brother sold him
exactly right. And then they went ahead and sold him to Potiphar. And then,
yes,
and then
right.
That poor guy, I mean, there's a guy that didn't do a lot wrong, but his pathway was for the sake of Israel to be a nation. But you don't read a lot of complaining that he did. He didn't do a lot of complaining, even though he was sold inappropriately, accused falsely, and then thrown in jail. But all of that was to put him in a place where he would end up being one of the most powerful people on the planet.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He was faithful. See, that's what happens when you're faithful to the Lord.
Exactly.
He was faithful and throughout all of his suffering, times of suffering, not all the time. You know, Potiphar made him over his household, you know, and so Joseph could take on responsibility, okay, because he took on Potiphar and made him just be the one to take care of his household. And then when he was thrown in prison, it was the same thing. Before you knew it, the guards were having Joseph kind of
exactly
take over.
Exactly. A faithful man. Always, the Lord always works that out, doesn't he? Where he gets that person to the right spot, no matter what their circumstance is, moves them up. He was very faithful. He's a very faithful man. So very impressive. That was part of my Haftorah that I talked about when I was 13 years old when I read it in Hebrew. Back in 40 some odd years ago, long time ago.
Oh,
so long
okay.
ago, I forgot. That's how long. Excellent job. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing that. You did a great job.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, this might have to, I can't remember. Say, hold on, 58 for the, okay, and that was Mary, and Mary did a great job. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, let me do this small teaching. It's not a really long teaching, and I think that tomorrow people are going to say, oh, you know, what'd you think, or what'd you think of this? And it's going to be like, I'm going to be talking about Israel and the Promised Land. Because that's what the Lord's telling me to do, and I'm just doing what the Lord does. It's so much easier because I don't operate in guilt or persuasion. I'm just trying to do obedience. It's like, yes, I'll do that, whatever you say. Romans 4, 19 through 21. Listen to this. This is our good friend Abe. He considered his own body to be already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, without weakening in the faith. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. A couple of fantastic portions in this. You could probably teach on this for weeks on end. But the first thing I want to pick up on is that Abraham, in fact, gave glory to God, which does not, there's nowhere in there where it says he complained and didn't like the way it went. He just, all right, God, you figured it out. You got it. All right, it's all you. And the way his attitude was, it wasn't that he didn't yield to what Sarah said and they tried to move it up ahead of time. They went through that, and people do that on a kind of a regular basis. But there's a part of Abraham that said, God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. And there's a part of you that knows, even with spouses, children, wives, situations, jobs, scenarios, doesn't even matter. God's got it. Okay? He's got it covered. Okay? I know, but he hasn't given me, you know, the little Western Union thing. Okay, I'm sorry God did not send you a Western Union thing, but he did send something called Genesis 1-1 to Revelation 22-21, which is kind of a pre-Western Union. Here it is. I got you covered. And the thing that I like about this most and most difficult for me, I would not be surprised if it was most difficult for other people, is it says he considered his own body to be already dead, without weakening in the faith. In other words, people will say, well, you know, Christianity, that's blind faith. And it's like, that's exactly the opposite of true faith. True faith considers that the situation is hopeless. It's lost, but God will still pull it off. That's what faith is. Faith is not Abraham going, no, I'm just like a 20-year-old. Faith was Abraham going, I'm 100. This is not happening on a multiple of levels. And yet, because God said it was going to happen, probably with a little bit of an accent, it's going to happen. See what I'm saying? That's how faith operates. God's promise always comes down to this. It's an amazing practical application. It's unbelief versus faith. Here's the simple question, and Jesus asked this question to his disciples. Do you believe? And it's like it's either yes or no. It says in the scripture in Romans 4:20, he did not waver in unbelief. The word waver means, listen to this. This is why I brought this up. The word waver means to be at variance with oneself. That's Thayer's lexicon definition. In other words, to be inside, split on two sides. So to be within something, but split on two sides. Abraham did not waver. He wasn't split on two sides. He wasn't at variance. He was, in fact, convinced that God could pull it off. He didn't know how God would pull it off. There's nothing in his system that tells us he had an idea other than the scripture says that he believed God could raise him from the dead. He knew some way, shape, or form. God's going to do this. God's going to get this done. But inside of him, he didn't have the variance. He didn't have the split. He didn't have the, well, I got unbelief, but then I got belief. And he's like, nope, God's going to do it. How? Don't know. When? Don't know. But it's going to happen. That's the difference between the promises of God being received by faith and the promises of God being diminished by unbelief. He looked right at it and said, God will do it. And sometimes you have to look at it and just say, all you, big guy, gotcha. And I know that sounds like a horrible way or a disrespectful way to say it, and that is not my intent, so please don't interpret it that way. I think that's the right attitude. I think you point up to heaven sometimes and you go, all you. And you do that genuinely, and God knows it's genuine. And you recognize that, and you live in that. Because here's the amazing thing. When you have faith, and when you believe, and when you get rid of the variance inside of you, miracles happen all the time. Well, that's why hanging out with God is cool. Because he does so much fantastic stuff for our lives. Get that? Okay. All right. Excellent job, by the way, for everybody all around. Thank you, T, for getting me through some of the tech problems. We'll try and figure some of that out. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hungry giant.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.